I don't know if you know this or not, but you can learn all about the art of improv through the program The Zen of Improv, a one-day intensive with Pam Victor at MOPCO on Saturday, this Saturday, December 3rd from 10 to 4 at the MOPCO Improv Theater on J Street in Schenectady. Have you never heard of that space? Well, we'll talk to you all about it in just a moment. Pam Victor is an improv comedian, author, teacher, consultant from Western Massachusetts. She is the founder and head of Happiness of Happier Valley Comedy, the epicenter of improv in Western Massachusetts, where Pam teaches the Zen of improv and brings the power of improvisation to the workplace in her Through Laughter program. She is also the author of the book Improvisation at the Speed of Light, the TJ and Dave book. We welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you on the program. We also welcome MOPCO's co-director, Michael Burns, back to the program. Good morning, Michael.
Hey,
how are you?
Great.
Very nice to have you on the program. So let us talk about MOPCO for a second before we go to Pam. And so what led to this particular event and your new space and how things are going?
Well, I took a quick workshop from Pam in Oxford, England this summer at a conference we were both attending.
That sounds very fancy.
It was cool.
We're very fancy.
We're very fancy. We go to Oxford and do such things.
Improv at Oxford.
Improv is actually
cool.
Very traditional. It happened to be there anyway, and I kind of fell in love with Pam and what she does. My wife's in love with her too, so it's cool.
We're all good.
And during the conversation, I mentioned that we were opening a new theater and could she come teach? And I was delighted to find out that she said yes. So it's really exciting to have her come into our space and do this for our folks, you know.
All very good.
Yeah.
All right. So let us talk a little bit about this one-day intensive, Pam, of what can you learn in a day?
Everything. And
really?
Nothing.
Okay. Yeah. Everything and
all
nothing.
Of it. It's
I'll
then.
Take it.
So it's everything and it's nothing. Uh-huh. What we will cover in a day is quieting the judgmental voice so you can trust that who you are already is perfectly wonderful and everything you need to be a fantastic improviser and, coincidentally, a fantastic human being.
Okay.
Just that. So that's everything and nothing, I guess, yeah.
So who looks to take something like this?
Gosh, I hope a bunch of people.
Well, I hope you have a full crowd too. But in your mind, if we look at demographics and life experience, who tends to take the course?
So, I mean, I think it's Michael's opening it up to intermediate and experienced improvisers. For this one-day intensive, I've taught people just off the street who have never done an improv class. To people who have been improvising for a decade or more. So it could be anyone. The people that my approach tends to resonate most with are, I always say middle-aged women are my jam. the big improv world, the average improvisers tend to be a perfectly lovely 25-year-old guy,
boy proud.
The type of improvisers that really enjoy the work I'm doing tend to be middle-aged people, older people, that come with just like this wonderful abundance of experience and life living. And I get to tell them that that is all fantastic and they can use it on the stage. They don't have to be fast. We can do patient improvisation together, and it's a beautiful thing.
And so ultimately, when you look at MOPCO and what you want to accomplish, why do you think this is important to offer this type of experience for people?
Well, we're trying to build a culture, really, of creativity and kind of joyful exploration. I tell my students in improv all the time, it's about receiving. You know, it's not about getting up there and being fast and clever,
right,
which most people think. It's really about paying attention to your partner and relaxing and receiving from your partner and then letting things happen, not making things happen. And that's what resonated. I'm not a middle-aged woman, although
wait, what?
I've played one very successfully.
That may change your grade.
It actually, well, I think I fooled Pam last summer, and so I'm good at playing a middle-aged woman.
Only have to identify as a middle-aged woman.
That's true. I sometimes do, at times.
Well, just like Michael says, the thing that I love teaching is the service of improvisation. To me, improv is a team sport. And my job is to be most of service to the moment, most of service to the scene, and most of service to my teammates. So I'm going to get out there and respond to my teammate to be helpful to the scene, not to be the funniest person on stage. In fact, I don't really teach funny.
Right.
Funny tends to be a lovely side effect of improvisation.
I love that word because it's like the good laughs, the really good laughs are this rolling, deep recognition kind of laugh as opposed to the knee-jerk, there's a punchline, I laugh, I don't know why kind of thing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Why, I guess, Pam, I'm curious for your thoughts on what most people think of improv going in and how you dispel a lot of that.
Oh, they leave so disappointed. Sometimes people come in and they think that I'm going to teach them how to be funny. So they come in and say, I want you to teach me how to be funny, how to be fast on my feet, which I can certainly, I think it happens anyways, both of those things. But that's not, again, that's a side effect. That's not what I'm directly teaching, how to be funny. Because I think you're funny already. I teach that. What brings me joy and delight about you and anybody performing is your, what I call your you-ness. I spell it Y-O-U-N-E-S-S, the thing that makes you you. That is funny to me.
Yeah.
And everybody is that. That's your authentic self. So we just have to quiet the judgmental voices that tell you that that's not enough and let you be your authentic self, and then we end up laughing. Because we all relate to authenticity.
Talk about the Zen aspect and then ultimately bringing that into our lives, our work lives, our home lives. How is that possible?
Well, so the idea is, I always say I'm not a Zen master by any means. I swear
way too much. What? No.
You seem like a Zen master.
No, I'm not. I'm just a lady. A lot of the things, I call them capital T truths, the way I teach improvisation. It just happens to be a lot of the same stuff that is just this big truth. So non-judgment is a big thing, quieting that judgmental voice. We name the judgmental voice, we call him Calvin. I don't think they do that in Zen. But there's also one called Brittany. She deals with body issues. She tells me I don't look good in these jeans. Right. But generally in improvisation, we deal with Calvin, who just tells us we're not good enough.
Yeah.
So that is a big thing in Zen, I am led to understand. Curiosity, this capital C curiosity, is another thing that my approach has in common with Zen. What would it be like to think that we're going to have fun today, or what would it be like not to be nervous about getting up and talking in front of people? Just that curiosity and following that. What could the next thing happen? And then it's like really about being in the moment and paying attention. And I'm using capital letters there. It's not just like a pay attention in that little way. It's like what are the multitude of ways that we can be present and pay attention? And what stops us from paying attention?
Yeah.
And how can we mitigate that? So I think those are the things that are kind of zenny about it. And, of course, you could see that those have vast applications to our real lives. People tell me all the time, and it's my great honor when they do, that the work changes their regular lives far outside of the classroom, at their home and in their workplace.
And I, having taken this, I assume you agree with that, and of how you can take those skills and use them in your
And we see that all the time. I am delighted to be part of this community of people who started studying with us and then come back and say very similar things. This is changing my life. I know how to talk to people now, etc. And it's really simple stuff. It's like relax. Don't beat yourself up. Pay attention. Say the obvious kind of authentic thing, and you're going to be okay. And they take that off stage, and they're delighted to find, wow, I'm okay. It's amazing. So we have a lot of students at MOPCO who aren't really interested in performing as much as just building their creative life and their realness, sort of. So this fits right in. It's absolutely, and I think a lot of improv people find this to be true. This isn't a secret, right?
Absolutely. Out here in Western Mass at Happier Valley Comedy, most of my students are not interested in performing, but they keep coming back over and over and take it. You know, they don't go away. They keep taking it because they say it's cheaper than therapy.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's
true. And like
true.
Michael says, it's simple stuff, but it's complexly simple, if that's a word. You could study it for the rest of your life,
Yes. But
it's super simple.
So here's one of the things I deal with in therapy, which is why I always have to have like every moment accounted for. So let me just end with this question, which is from 10 to 4, how does the day unfold?
Great.
I mean, like, do you spend an hour doing this and an hour doing that, or how does it unfold?
So the first
over?
Thing that happens is that I redefine the culture of the room into one in which failure is redefined. So that's my first big task. So from 10 to about 11:30, that's
I like the
that's
sounds of that.
Doing.
Redefining awesome. Failure. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's the big deal. So what happens, and we practice it for an hour and a half, but it really only takes 10, 15 minutes. And this is stuff that I do in corporate workshops, too, that people seem to dig. It's that, like, these few simple little exercises where all of a sudden, after doing them, when somebody makes a mistake, the group automatically starts cheering.
Yeah.
And that is, we're supporting mistakes because through mistakes come innovation. And if we're afraid of mistakes, we are in a place of stop, a place of no go.
Right.
And we want to be in a place of joyful acceptance. So we want to take away that fear. So that's the first part of the day. And then we move into taking words don't really seem to matter to me very much about improvisation. It's not the narrative. It's not the plot. It's people are coming to see, in my opinion, the emotional connection between two people. So I do a lot throughout the rest of the day about emotional point of view and the pleasures of silence in a scene and what you're really paying attention to, which is not really the words, but again, this emotion between the people.
Well, it's all happening at this one-day intensive, the Zen of Improv, a one-day intensive with Pam Victor at MOPCO on Saturday, December 3rd from 10 to 4 at the MOPCO Improv Theater on J Street in Schenectady. Michael Burns, thank you very much for being with us.
I thank you, sir.
A great pleasure. And Pam, thank you so much. Pam Victor is going to be leading the show on Saturday. And Pam, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
A great pleasure. Have a wonderful, wonderful time in Schenectady. MOPCO.org for more information. MOPCO.org about the great work that they do, not just with this program, but with all the great work they do. MOPCO.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.